Our Lord today in the Gospel gives us a very clear warning against one of the most common sins, the sin of anger. Our Lord, in very clear terms, warns us that anger even can lead to hell. This passion is so common, even many of the saints had to struggle against it to overcome that inclination. And so I thought today it would be good to explain what is just anger? How is it distinguished from the sinful anger that our Lord condemns? We know that anger is one of the passions. God put it there inside us for a good reason. The passions themselves were created by God. They're not evil. But since the fall of Adam, we inherit original sin, and the effects of it remain in us even after the original sin has been washed away in baptism. And one of these effects is that the passions don't want to obey reason. And so we commit sin. God created the pleasure that we have in eating for a good reason, to sustain the body, and yet by abusing it we can commit a sin of gluttony. God created the passion of anger for a good reason, but we very often abuse it to commit sin because we do not act in accordance with reason. We allow that passion to be completely or partially out of control. Father Leonard Goffin, in his church's year, in his commentary on the Gospel for this Sunday, explains just anger in this way. He says, is anger always sinful? No, anger is sinful only when we wish or actually inflict some evil to the body, property, or honor of our neighbor. When we make use of such insulting and abusive words as to injure his character, provoke, and irritate him. If we become angry at the vices and crimes of others when our office or the duties of our station demand that we watch over the conduct of those under our care to punish and correct them, as in the case of parents, teachers, and superiors, then anger is no sin. When one, through pure love of God, becomes irritated at the sins and vices of his fellow men, like King David, or if one, urged to do wrong, repels the tempter with indignation, this is even holy anger. Thus, St. Gregory says, it is to be understood that anger created by impatience is a very different thing from anger produced by a zeal for justice. The one is caused by vice, the other by virtue. He then who becomes angry for justice's sake commits no sin, but his conduct is holy and praiseworthy, for even our Lord was angry at those who bought and sold in the temple. Paul was angry at the magician Elymas, and Peter at the deceit of Ananias and Sapphira. Anger, then, to be without sin, must proceed from true zeal for God's honor and the salvation of souls, by which we seek to prevent others from sin and to make them better. Even in this respect, we must be careful to allow our anger no control over our reason, but to use it merely as a means of doing good. For we are often apt to take the sting of anger for holy zeal, when it is really nothing but egotism and ambition. And this tendency of ours to allow even just anger to go out of control to the point where we commit sin in the very act of opposing sin is why St. Francis de Sales, for his part, known as one of the most meek saints, gave this advice. He said, it's better to say that you were never angry than to say that you were angry for a just reason. Because so often we allow that just anger, even that, to go out of control. And it's very hard for us to know when we are motivated by zeal for God's honor and glory versus when we are really motivated by our own pride, which always finds a way to insert itself, even in holy things. And so when the apostles, for example, wanted to send down fire to burn the one city, our Lord did not do it. He rebuked them. He said, you know not of what spirit you are. They thought they were acting out of holy zeal to want to destroy the city that rejected our Lord, but they were not acting for the right reason. Father Gargoyle Lagrange, the famous theologian from the first half of the 20th century, the great anti-modernist, in speaking about the heroic virtue that is required to be a saint, what the church looks for in canonizing a saint, he says that this heroic virtue is not indicated by the fact that someone practiced a particular virtue to a high degree. It's indicated by the fact that someone practiced apparently contradictory virtues at the same time to a high degree. In other words, that one is able to practice firmness and gentleness, which seem to us to be contradictories, and yet to practice both. We too often hear things said where someone is praised for virtue. Oh, he's a very charitable man, does all this good, and yet perhaps in other respects is leading an immoral life. How can God be pleased by that? St. Paul rebuked those who, he said, you can have the faith. If you had faith to move mountains, but you had not charity, it's nothing. The saints knew how to practice all the virtues, even those that seemed contradictory. And so the saints knew how to have this holy indignation against sin and error, and at the same time to have an incredible meekness about them. St. John Bosco, in his book on the life of St. Vincent, the life and virtues of St. Vincent de Paul, has a wonderful chapter on the evenness of mind and another one on the meekness of St. Vincent de Paul, where he gives some good example to us. St. Vincent de Paul did not start out meek. It was something he had to work hard at. And he became eventually so meek that it was said he would have been the meekest saint of his century if it weren't for the fact that St. Francis de Sales lived in the same century. So St. John Bosco says this, that state of subjection of body and mind in virtue of which a man remains always at peace, always the same, whatever happens, is, as St. Vincent says, not so much a special virtue as it is a state which presupposes in him the combination of all virtues. It is a ray, a reflection on the exterior of the peace and beauty within. A Christian who by force of violence, now this is St. John Bosco talking again, a Christian who by force of violence, of mortifying himself, of uniting his will with the will of God, has reached this point, is henceforth master of himself and remains calm and tranquil through all the vicissitudes of life. Whatever one may say of him or do to him, nothing causes any upheaval in his soul. Whether he be crushed by the weight of affairs, whether he receives from the hand of God the most unexpected blows, whether he be forgotten, despised, betrayed by those whom he loved, or overwhelmed with kindness, his heart is always the same, his brow just as serene, his words always moderate, even his voice never changes tone, and on this point already resembles the voice of the elect in that blessed abode where there is no alteration nor change. And this is the portrait of Saint Vincent. From his tenderest years to his extreme old age, his piety, devotion, and charity never diminished. His balance of mind accompanied him in all the various functions he had to carry out. Another passage from there to point out is this. Saint John Bosco says on the meekness of Saint Vincent, born with a fiery temperament and a tendency to hastiness, he was naturally inclined to anger. He took trouble in the very beginning to express the first movements, but the interior violence he had to use was betrayed by a somewhat gloomy and unpleasant manner. Therefore, he made a study of his own character. He saw what was wanting. He had recourse to the Lord. He derived courage from the example of St. Francis de Sales, whose extraordinary meekness struck him from the time of their first interview. It costs us very little to practice meekness toward those who are meek towards us. Even the heathen practice it in such cases. But to practice it towards those who offend us and contradict us and who will listen to nothing, that means heroic virtue. And then he talks about how St. Vincent de Paul, even when he dealt with very difficult people, he never seemed to lose his patience. And he would repeat the same thing to people who didn't understand or who were troublesome, burdensome, repeat it to them many times over with the same evenness and patience as the first time that he said it. And he mentions the story of once when St. Vincent was walking, he bumped into a man, and the man burst into a fit of anger and punched him in the face. And rather than reacting in anger, St. Vincent knelt down and turned the other cheek to him and begged his pardon. And the man was so struck by this that he repented of what he had done and overcame his anger. So when we think of this example of St. Vincent, and we think of our own, how we act, let us ask ourselves, do we have this patience, this meekness, this evenness of mind, which was the character of the saints, to not get agitated by things? How often we let ourselves fall into one extreme or another. Either we are very easily given to anger, and we always tell ourselves it's out of zeal for God, when it may very well be our own pride. And St. Vincent de Paul even said, he said how often it happens even when we are arguing with heretics, that we argue in such a way that they sense that what we really want is to win an argument, and that turns them away from the faith. And St. Vincent said, so even with them, we ought to have this meekness. Or on the other hand, do we, by nature, we do not exercise that proper passion of anger that would make us fight against sin? We can fall into this what we believe is meekness, which may be weakness, where we do not repel sin, we do not correct it. Like Heli, how God punished Heli and his sons in the Old Testament, because as we read in Scripture, Heli corrected his sons, but he did it very weakly. He did not correct and punish the sins of his sons as he should have. So let us, like the saints, practice both of these virtues, a just zeal for God's glory, opposing sin with just anger, but be very careful that it be not be led by our own pride. Be very careful to practice meekness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.